I've been speaking to quite a few people lately, and they say, yes, the language is like this, you know. Yeah, the devil is on my case, you know. The car broke. I had to stand in Sauce's queue for 2 hours. Our fridge broke. And the devil is really giving me a hard time. Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, man, that's just life. It doesn't mean that, don't give the devil that much credit, okay? It's like, he's good, but I don't know if he's in everything. And sometimes, you know, I just think that somehow the enemy sometimes gets it right so easy to derail us through the simplest things, you know? Now I'm thinking, I mean, we're sleeping less, and but it's not the devil's fault. It's probably more my fault. But we just have to learn, this is life now, how to juggle through life without getting derailed. Yeah? And so I'm actually at a place where I don't want to give the devil that much credit for everything that goes wrong, you know. Sometimes it's his fault and then we fight him. Sometimes it's God's fault. I say God's fault, but God's plan to put us in the oven a little bit. And sometimes it's your own fault. No amens to that one. I just want to say, sometimes you in scenarios because you did something, okay? Sometimes if you're out of money, you spend too much money. That might be the option, okay? We don't like that one. That was surprisingly quiet there. I just want to say, if you can't blame everything on God either. Let me just put it like that. If you did something, it's like, we need to own it. Why did I go down this road? Anyway, mate, this is why. I've got a question for you. What made the early church? So thinking about the church in the Bible's times, and then throughout church history, like some of the early stages of church, what made the church so dangerous? And if it's so dangerous, for advancing the kingdom, what made them so dangerous? Anyone, tell me, what made the church so dangerous? They had nothing to lose. What else? Okay, good question, eh? I'll tell you what I believe made them so dangerous. It was this thing, that they did not love their lives, even unto the point of death. There was nothing in it for them. Like, they had nothing to lose. And you think about the disciples, where they said, Jesus, you know, who's the most important here? Let one of us sit on your left, one on your right. And Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking, but are you prepared to drink from the cup that I'm drinking? And they said, yes, we are. He says, okay, you will. And all 11 of them were persecuted and killed in a terrible way for their faith. I love this about God. Well, maybe love is a strong word. But do you have a theology of God that martyrdom is included in his nature? That Jesus said this, that he will not come back until the full number of martyrs have entered the kingdom. How's that? And we think, you know, that can't be Jesus, man. He must have said, I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you. And yeah, he says, I want some people to be killed. Yes. It's in his, like, the reason I didn't plan to go down here, but do we have a theology that God is not in it just to set our lives up for one happy life? He actually said, like, for some it is to live an incredible life. You're going to actually have money. You're going to advance the kingdom. You're going to have a great life. For some, I mean, I've heard stories about guys that have seen isolated groups, like, let's say, I think it was in the middle of South America, like culture groups, and they take their families, five families of them, this is a true story, took their families, flew there, like, that. I mean, they prayed for years, the church sent them, there was a call. As soon as they stepped off the plane, someone spread a mis story about them, and all five of the guys were killed instantly. And now you're thinking, but how does it work? Because they did it for God. And sometimes we need to remember, in God's picture, it is not about just always from like to get to success. It is like, are we dead to ourselves? That what makes us dangerous, like whatever the Lord wants to do, whether it's life or death, we are His. Very few amens here this morning. And just to finish that story, by the way, so five of those guys were killed, and then 2 months later, their wives and their children went back, and they ministered to the same group of people, and people came to repentance. And in the end, two of those who speared the parents baptized the kids many years later. P- powerful, powerful story. But somehow, just in that, I think it shakes our theology a little bit from just, you know, working and coming to church on a Sunday and a Wednesday. Like, image of Jesus, all right? So, speaking about what makes the church dangerous is that they didn't love their lives even unto death. And I was off now for 2 weeks, you know, or I say off, actually grafted quite hard and trying to juggling these two and whatever. And but I was driving to Cape Town in the week for a quick up and down. I had to go for my Australia biometrics. And just driving down, I was just praying this prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, man, I'm praying for us as Mossel Bay. And I said, God, and Lord, what does it look like for us to accurately reflect you? What does it look like for us to be a church that you can call? This is a city on a hill, a light that is not put under a basket that people can look like and they can see what Jesus is like. How do we get there? And I felt the Lord tell me, death. Death. Dying to live. Dying to live. Now, I don't know about you, but when I joined Josh Jen, now 12 years ago, I came out of a move and we loved it. I was in Wellington with the Bible school and we thought we were center of the universe, okay? We loved it, okay? It's like we saw Jesus together there every day, worshiped together every day. But we were this little isolated bubble. And then at the end of that first year, we joined up with Josh Jen, became part of the field. And I remember coming into Josh Jen. The thing that was most attractive for me wasn't the leaders, because I remember our first gathering with Andrew. He had these camo pants on and this shirt and he just broke his thumb in an XL TV thing that they did and he moaned quite a bit. We still tease him about that. He was like moaning about that throughout the whole gathering. And I remember it was like this. It wasn't a performance thing at all. Yeah? Average people. But they were laying down their lives for the sake of the gospel. And I remember as a young man looking at that and it's like, I too want to die with these people. That I can live with them. I remember it was the most attractive thing that I've seen. It's like these people have learned what it looks like to be buried in Christ and to live with him. He said, and I want to have a part of this. I too want to die with him. It's what pulled me into the church. And you know, I love this about Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, he says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is it. When I was with you guys, there was nothing of me. Before this, he says, I didn't come to you with plausible words of wisdom. But it says, when I was with you, I only knew Jesus. And I came to you in power. Because of that. Because we did not love our lives even unto death. And are you guys with me this morning? Sorry, I'm jumping a little bit all over the place here. Just trying to find my way through this. But, you know, Jesus actually says this. This for me is the core message of Jesus' gospel actually. We never see him tell someone, go and pick up your life. Never. No? And he says, this is a narrow way to find. And few are finding it. And Matthew 16, and you would have heard this before, but it says, Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, now I just want to ask, who of you wants to be his disciple? Great, that's why we're here, okay? And he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, if he wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How many of you have heard that before? Now, I'll be honest, in this week when I was thinking about the scripture, I was thinking, man, it kind of looks like this. We pick up that cross. It's maybe a bit of a wooden, heavy thing. It chafes our shoulder a bit, and then we must just walk with this thing. Is that what it looks like to pick up our cross and follow him? Okay? And you see that people doing that throughout South Africa, picking up this heavy cross on wheels, and then they plow from Cape Town to Namibia or whatever. I don't know. Have you seen that before? And some guy was missioning with a cross. Friends, I want to say, great image, but that's not what he meant. Okay? What did Jesus do with this cross? Got up on it and he died on it. Denied himself. The very thing who he was, the Son of God, innocent. He got up and he denied himself and he became sin for you and I. He died there. And he says, now you too, if you want to be my disciple, you need to attend church every Sunday and sometimes community. Because that's what we sometimes bring it down to. That's it. If you want to be his disciple, that's what we need to do. And actually Jesus says, no. If you want to be my disciple, come and die with me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my will find it. And what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet loses their soul? Do we still believe that? No. It's like, what good is it for us to gain the whole world and get on our deathbed and then you pass it on to someone else. But we go into hell. That's the reality. Yeah. Is baie stil vir oggend, né? Luister mooi. Luister mooi, né? And friends, I want to say this, you know, our inclination as people, as human beings, is to try and grab and save our lives, okay? Who of you had a near-drowning experience before? So I don't know why I'm still surfing, but most of my experiences come from that, okay? And I tell you, I remember probably one of my worst ones was at J-Bay one day. It's like, I don't know what I was doing there, but it was 10 to 12 foot J-Bay. That's a bit higher than the ceiling, man, waves at J-Bay. And it's heavy on reef. And I wasn't a good surfer. I'm not a good surfer, okay? But we're out there. I made it out somehow, okay? And I was missing a few, and I was paddling more in for non-surface, I hope you can try and understand. Anyway, and as I look outside, there is this monster wave coming around the point there. And I remember my one friend, we were out there together, and he says, oh, no. And I don't know if you've had that moment before, but it's like all the life drained out of my body. I literally couldn't even paddle. I was just laying there. It's like, I'm going to die. And I remember I paddled as hard as I could to the side and to the back to try and get out. And Mike, I remember he made it just through. He looked at me as he went through the wave, and the thing just landed square on my head. Bam! And I can't remember how long I was underwater. It felt like hours, okay, but it's probably just a few seconds. But I was dragged all over the reef, and I ended up straight on in J-Bay. If you've been there before, it's all those rocks there on shore. And I'm hopping off, and I'm standing on the rocks, and there's this 10-foot wave standing straight in front of me. You're standing with your board there. It's like, hey! And I'm trying to just get through it, okay? It's like that day I honestly thought I was gonna die. Okay, I made it. I'm still here. If you're wondering at the end of the story, okay. And but there was this, you know, everything within me in that moment kicked in. Save yourself. All right. There was like, what is the easiest way to save myself here? Okay. And whenever I went under, I was like, okay, and it's scratching for every bit of life that I could find. Okay. Now it's quite a dramatic story. Again, some guys might laugh at me at that, but I tell you, if you're thinking you're dying, it's surprising what your body does. I wasn't going to the safest way to preserve my board to get back inside, straight over the rocks, head for land. Okay. I was like, save yourself here. And you know, as people in life, we do exactly the same. Is whenever we feel we're under pressure, when pressure comes, because God promised pressure, by the way. I just want to let you remind. If you want to have a scripture on your fridge that says, in this world you will have much trouble. If you want to be reminded of that. So in this life you're going to have much trouble. Yeah? And we're going to be under great pressure. But what sets the church apart from fake to real is that those who aren't trying to save their lives, but willing to lose it for the gospel. It's what makes the church dangerous. To lose our soul, to lose our lives. You know, and actually Jesus said here, if we try and save it, the promise is that you'll lose it. And it's a terrible thing in all areas of our lives, you know. There's a few areas where we're significantly tested with this. But the first one is finances, I reckon. Yeah? Where it's like the Lord says, trust me with your money. And I'm a provider. And 10% of what I give to you, just give back to me. Yeah? And how many of us, probably all of us, at some stage were tested or are now being tested on like, okay, budgeting, 10%, I need it. Yeah? And I'll give to the Lord afterwards what's left. Yeah? What is that? That's self-dependence. It's like trying to save ourselves. Yeah? We're actually, in our money, the Lord is trying to teach us, trust me first and see that I'll care for you. See that I'll take care of you. There's not a lot of amens here this morning, okay? I think other areas that we're being tested is in our relationships with one another, where I always call it for our leaders, I say the grace growers around you. Yeah? With people that are just continually not easy to work with and rubbing you up the wrong way. And saving your life is the times where we want to lash out and just set the course straight. And hold offense against one another, hold record of wrong. Say, I'll never trust again. And I remember, you know, Andrew once, when that language was among us at some stage, he looked at us with tears in his eyes and he just said, friends, you are nothing like Jesus when you do that. Because imagine if Jesus held record of wrong with us and just said, I'll forgive you, but I'll never trust you. Imagine that. And he says, losing your life is being over and over and over able to extend trust, to extend love, to trust again, to love again. And I'm a little bit all over the place here, but if I can be vulnerable with you guys this morning, I've got a real burden for us as a church that I just feel like we're in a season where the enemy is tempting us to pick up our lives. Say, fight for yourself. Save your life. I feel we're in a season where he's putting something before us and he's saying, just fight for yourself. It's like I can hear the Spirit cry, just lay down your life. If you want to follow me, die to yourself. Deny yourself, actually. Pick up your cross and come after me. And I was just praying yesterday. I was doing some work with the PM elders, and we had a great time yesterday. But we were just praying about, you know, what is some of the stuff we're facing in this area. And I don't want to go too far down this line, but, you know, we're in the same town. And I do believe that in certain areas, there's powers, principalities, strongholds that can have more. That is actually stuff that we're facing. You know, the Bible says, as we know, our weapons are not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers, authorities. You know, I read this a few weeks ago for us, but 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, that the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Okay, so there's strongholds here. And then he says, this is what we demolish. He says, arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. That's what we're fighting. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I feel that the thoughts and the pretensions that is setting itself up against the knowledge of God at the moment for us it sounds like this: pick up your life. And you'll be surprised what it sounds like. Yes, I'm going on a complete different tangent than I was hoping it to. This is what it sounds like. It's the key, or it's the how it comes in is self-pity. Self-pity, where it's the victim mindset of like, it's always me. And somehow when he can get us to the plate of self-pity and the victim mindset, what do we want to do is we try and save our lives. And when we look back, it's actually we're not reflecting Christ. We're not reflecting the nature of Christ. And friends, I want to tell you, some of you might be like, what am I on about this morning? I can see some interesting faces looking at me, okay? But I just want to remind you that we are in this world, we're not of it, but we're in a war. Yeah? And I really, as a churchman, we're going well, we're taking ground, we're growing healthier and healthier, but the enemy would love to come in among us and dilute us by this thing of just pick up your life and feel sorry for yourself for a second, man. Surely that's what God has called you, that can't be it. Surely that's not, Jesus would never expect that of you. Yet if you read the Gospels, what he's expecting of you is to throw away your life and follow me. Whatever you had, go and sell it and come up and follow me. Leave your stuff there and follow me. That's what it's after. That is the nature of the gospel. That is actually the hope that we carry. And then, you know, I was saying to the guys yesterday outside the building, I think we have it still on there, but we've got a slogan from Josh Jen that says, dying to live. Have you seen that before? Yeah. And truly, I remember coming into Josh Jen. It's like, it's not a slogan like that is what we aim for, but or that is like our motto. But it is something that's like we've seen this over and over with God. It's like, in our death with Him, we'll find life. In us going low, He'll be lifted up. In us laying down our lives and picking up our cross and saying, God, we want to be your disciples coming after you. We do find life with Him. But if we give in to the inclination to try and save ourselves, Jesus actually then promises, He says, if you try and save your life in this life, you'll lose it and in the next. That's scary. Now he's saying, it is not only that you have a tough life here, but actually for eternity, now there's a question mark there. Hell talk. So, am I off? Am I? Okay. It's like, I really want to bring us to this place. Friends, God is calling us to death in Him, that we may live with Him. Don't try and save your life. All right, Jesus lived this way in Philippians 2:5. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing but taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus lived this way. Remember 2 weeks ago we spoke about the nature of Christ, the humility posture? Can anyone remember that? All right. This is still part of this. This is the nature of Jesus that we're trying to take on. It's like the way to go high is to go low with him. The way to live is to die. And it's interesting. Christianity, in its core, Christianity fundamentally is actually about dying. You know, Philip today is going to get baptized, amen, which is great. And I was so excited last night when I heard about it, because it's like on this day, I want to invite every one of you to come to the beach at 12 o'clock at Santos. And we're going to look at it in action, where Jesus said, this is a symbol of something, of someone that is saying, I'm no longer to the old Philip. I'm no longer living for that person. I'm living for Christ. I'm parting ways with the old life and my sin and my old habits, even my old desires. You know, this is not even only for sin that we have to die to. It's for the good desires that he's put in us. You know that constantly I have to die to the desire of ministry? Because that too can become an idol. I said, God, even that has to die. All the good stuff has to die so that we can live in Christ. And today, when he's getting baptized and he comes out of the water, as he goes under, the Bible says that he is dying into that. And as he's coming out a new man now, he's not going to be perfect when he comes out there, unfortunately. All right? But it's actually in neon writing over his head, there's going to be a banner that says, no longer living for himself, but for Christ. Buried in Jesus so that he can be part of his resurrection. It's a powerful thing, eh? Powerful thing. Romans 6:4 says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death like his, that's hectic, eh? And I want to ask you this morning, friends, have you been united with Christ in his death as he died? For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that also we will live with him. Powerful scripture. And then he also says, 2 Corinthians 5:15, he says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. I can feel this morning, it's a little bit of a struggle here because it came out of nowhere, this whole dying part, you know, and it's like painting the picture here. But I've got a real burden to ask you this morning, and this is for our new visitors that's with us for the first time this Sunday, and then I want to, for Aiden who's been here for how many ever years, I think he's been here the longest, okay? I want to ask you this morning, are you truly given to our Jesus in death? You know, for me, I just said to the team this morning, you know, I think as elders, we've all at some stage have given up something. We've given up our life, said yes to the call. We put our hands to the plow and said, God, we're coming after you. But then, just, you know, in this week, I felt the Lord said, Anders, that doesn't mean, okay, you've done all the dying and now you can just live. And he says, there's a continual dying with Christ to go low so that we may truly be found in him. And it's quite a simple preach, but I just have this burden with us this morning that I want to call us to be a people who will be dying to live. Dying to live. John 12:24 says this, very truly I tell you that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And you know, the image that I have with this, my baby had an apple year earlier, my older one. And I like apples. And the image for me is like, I think our lives are sometimes like, it's a single thing, you know, that we can look at. And I'm going to probably land with this soon, but I want to say for me, what I feel we're wrestling with here is actually trust towards God, faith in God. Because sometimes we can see something, it's like, okay, well, this is what I have to work with. All right. And then I'm like, I can make it work. I like this apple. But actually what God says is that seed, if it goes in the ground, and not just fall on the ground, but if you put it in the ground and let it die, it will reap a bountiful harvest. And you know the picture that if seed goes in the ground, a tree will grow and there will be apples and it will fall and it will reproduce and it will fall and it will reproduce. And it's a plentiful harvest. And I just want to ask you this morning, is your life hidden in Christ? Let me read this. You guys still with me? I can feel I'm all over the place, but I do want to make sure that we hit it this morning. I read this morning. Colossians 3, I'm just going to read it for you. Verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And then verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory." It's just a powerful thing where it says, actually, if you die properly, it says, now it's not your life anymore. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears. And so the living part for me is this that I want to call us to. It's like, we are no longer living for ourselves, but Christ who became our life. And then two, we will appear with him in glory. How many of you have made it till that point? Not many of us, no. And has he become your life? I just want to pray. I know I didn't do the best teaching this morning in terms of this, but I feel I'm wrestling something here this morning. Elders must help me here. Okay? But Holy Spirit, I just want to pray that... Lord, I just want to be honest. I'm tired of playing church and Sunday after Sunday or Wednesday after Wednesday and having an appearance of something. But Lord, there's a cry in our hearts that we want our church and our individuals but our, together to be that city on a hill that you can use. Lord, we too want to be a church that is dangerous for this world because we do not love our lives even unto death. And Lord, I want to pray, if there's anything in us, Lord, if there's anything in me that love my life, Lord, that love the comfort, Lord, or that love things on my terms, Lord, that love to put faith in myself, Lord, I pray, would you bend us, God, that we can be a church that are fully dependent on our Jesus, that are not picking up our lives and holding things on our own hands and trying to keep things together. But Lord, we just want to admit that we trust you, King Jesus, that you know better than us, Lord, and that we in ourselves, we are a single seed. Means nothing, but buried in you, God, we will find true life. And I want to pray, Lord, the lie that the enemy wants to use among us to say, pick up your life. Surely this is not what God has called you to. Just live, man, just live. Lord, I pray that cry would die in us, Lord, that we will not be susceptible to the self-pity and the victim mindset, but Lord, that we would go low, that Jesus may truly be lifted up among us. Lord, I just want to pray that we will not be content with a mediocre Christian lifestyle. But, oh God, that we may be part of your plan. That we are people that can conquer the world, conquer the enemy, because we didn't love our lives even unto death. Lord, maybe we come back to a place, like Paul said, that when I was with you, I determined in my heart to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. May all of us, Lord, be buried with you in your death, that we can live with you in your resurrection. And Holy Spirit, I just want to pray. It feels like somehow, Paul was writing to the people often, and he said, it feels like Satan has corrupted you. And he's preaching a different gospel to you that is not of the one that I've been preaching to you. And sometimes a different gospel that the enemy wants to come preach, it's not a complete different one, but a complete false one. But it's just one that sounds, the one that sounds like it's just pick up your life. Just live a little bit for yourself, man. And friends, I want to say that God did not send you to this earth to be a great doctor or a great artist or a great shopping attendant or a great engineer. All of us have been sent to this world with a call. And he said that I want a kingdom of priests. Some are in the marketplace, some are full-time, but all of us have a call. And Holy Spirit, I just want to pray in this next season, would you fan into flame the call again. Would you fan into flame the love again? Lord, would you fan into flame the trust again? Lord, that we might learn not to rely on ourselves, but on Christ who was raised from the dead. Pray for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.